The final episode of The Mandalorian is now out, and we're going to be breaking it down along with all the movie news and TV news this week. This is Live Action Remake. Welcome back to Live Action Remake, your source for movie news, TV news, reviews, and recommendations. My name is Diego, and we got quite a bit to talk about this week. We're going to be breaking down the final episode of Season 2 of The Mandalorian, and we're going to be doing a rewatch of Wonder Woman, getting you ready for 1984 coming out this Friday. But before that, let's get into our trailers, our movie news, and our TV news, starting with trailers. There are three trailers you should check out this week. Coming to America from Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall. They are returning for the Coming to America sequel. This is coming to Amazon Prime in March. The first trailer just dropped on Tuesday. It looks pretty funny, about as funny as the first film. I remember the first film pretty fondly. It's one of my mom's favorite films. It doesn't look like it's capturing the magic, but maybe it will. I don't know. Eddie Murphy is pretty hit or miss right now, so we'll see how that one looks. The Little Things with Denzel Washington, Rami Malek, and Jared Leto is coming January 29th, 2020 to HBO Max and theaters. The trailer also dropped on Tuesday. This one I'm pretty excited for. I'm a huge fan of Denzel Washington, but I'm an even bigger fan of Rami Malek. He is amazing on Mr. Robot. Jared Leto seems to be some kind of murderer, and Denzel and Rami are trying to solve a case, basically trying to prove him guilty, and they can't seem to pin him because they're trying to catch him on the little things. It looks pretty interesting. I'm pretty excited for that one, so check it out. The Little Things. And finally, The History of Swear Words, a mockumentary, maybe documentary, with Nicolas Cage is coming to Netflix January 5th. A trailer just dropped. It looks ridiculous. Very Nicolas Cage. Very much something I'm going to be watching. I don't know if this is comedic or if it's actually going into the history of swear words, because it seemed to be breaking down some stuff, but also Sarah Silverman was on it. I don't know. Check it out. Let me know what you think. Is this a real thing? Is this just a joke? Let me know. I'm definitely going to watch it, though, January 5th. So yeah, check out Coming to America, The Little Things, and The History of Swear Words. Now let's go on to movie news, starting with Thomas Hayden Church and Willem Dafoe have reportedly been in talks to return for Spider-Man 3. If you don't know who those guys are, that is Sandman from Spider-Man 3 and Green Goblin from the original Spider-Man. Now, this movie is getting insanely big. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Venom now from Topher Grace. I'm excited for Sandman. I think Sandman is a great villain. I think Thomas Hayden Church did an amazing job with that character in Spider-Man 3. He's definitely the standout of that movie. Willem Dafoe is definitely the definitive Green Goblin because we haven't had a better one. But I think we can get a better one, definitely. I hope they change up the looks for Green Goblin. I don't think he holds up visually. But I'm excited enough for both of those characters to return, so I'm down for it. Let's see how that goes. Quintessa Swindell from the teen drama Trinkets has been cast as Cyclone in the upcoming Black Adam film. If you didn't know, the Black Adam film is creating the Justice Society of America, which is the Justice League before the Justice League, basically, like the earliest version of that team. They already have characters like Dr. Fate, Hawkman, and Atom Smasher, and she is the fourth member, Cyclone. So that's going to be pretty cool. I'm excited for that. Mortal Kombat will be released on April 16th, 2021. We finally got a release date for that movie. That's a lot earlier than a lot of people expected. The trailer is supposed to drop January 1st, or at least in early January. That's pretty exciting. I'm waiting to see the trailer to know whether I'll be excited for it. I know video game movies don't have the best track record, so as of right now, I am cautiously optimistic for that one. Zack Snyder reveals that the Snyder Cut will be released in the first quarter of 2021 in March. A March release date for the Snyder Cut. That means that it will be competing directly with Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which I want to see both of those very badly. Probably Falcon and the Winter Soldier more, because that's something original. I did think we were going to get this in the summer. I thought this was going to be a summer release date, but, you know, with all the theaters basically being closed up here in America, I guess it makes sense that it doesn't need to be in the summer. It doesn't have to be a summer flick. It can be whenever streaming. So much. I'm excited to see the next trailer. Hopefully it'll have more footage, because the last trailer didn't have much new footage. The opening scene of Wonder Woman 84 has been released online. We put it on our Facebook page at Live Action Remake. It looks pretty cool. Like, visually, it's a lot brighter than the first film. It's got a lot more of young Diana just, like, you know, running around doing her thing. She's in the Colosseum with the other freaking Amazonians. Go ahead and check it out on our page. Theaters may be looking to slash Warner Brothers movie tickets to as low as $3, so Warner Brothers get next to nothing after the controversial HBO Max move. Yeah, if you haven't heard, I guess when they did the whole putting the movies onto streaming, they didn't even tell any of their partners in this, like none of the other studios, none of the movie theater chains, so they kind of just blindsided everybody. And now they're looking to retaliation. This is gonna be really cool In the beginning, $3 movie tickets or $5 movie tickets as low as that would be awesome, but you know, this is just gonna make movies harder to make money, and it's gonna be harder in the long run for everybody. So I don't know, I just wish everyone got along and worked out better so that way the movie going experience isn't in jeopardy. But you know, HBO and Warner Brothers, they struck the first blow, so it's kind of on them. Chaos Walking has been delayed to March 5th, 2021, but new photos have been released of the film. The photos you can see on our page at Live Action Remake as well. It visually looks cool, but I'm not excited for this movie. If you saw the first trailer, it's not a particularly good looking movie. Sing 2. I don't know if you remember Sing. It's that movie with all the animals who sing covers of songs. It added a bunch of people to the cast: Bobby Cannavale, Halsey, Pharrell, Letitia Wright, Eric Andre, Chelsea Peretti, and Bono are gonna be in Sing 2. I don't think Sing's a very good movie. I actually had a very intense argument with someone, I'm not gonna name names, who said that Sing was better than Moana. It's not. If you've seen both of them, it's just not. Fight me. Do you think Sing's better than Moana? Let me know. Revenge of the Nerds is getting a reboot with the Lucas Brothers from Seth MacFarlane. This is a bad idea because Revenge of the Nerds does not hold up. Don't rewatch it. It's very rapey. Don't rewatch it. It's not a good idea, and it's not a good idea to reboot that. Don't do it. Yeah. Dungeons and Dragons will have a movie with Chris Pine. Not much else is known. I've never played Dungeons and Dragons. I've wanted to for the longest time, but never got into it. Chris Pine's a great get. We're going to be talking about more of him and Wonder Woman later, so yeah. Now on to TV news. Hellstrom has been canceled after only one season at Hulu. We kind of speculated this. It is the last one in the era of Marvel television, and the new era is starting with WandaVision and everything on Disney Plus, so it kind of made sense that that one is finishing off sooner than it anticipated. Marvel Studios has announced another new show, Legends, which will debut January 8th, 2021, basically recapping the story of many of its original characters, starting with the Scarlet Witch and Vision. Now, I think this is just a clip show, basically. I think it's just gonna be like 20 minutes of like the best moments of Scarlet Witch and best moments of Vision. And they're just getting people ready for WandaVision. I think this is their way of recapping without you having to watch all of the movies, and maybe breaking down a little bit of the history of the comics. So that'll be kind of cool. I'm definitely gonna rewatch it. It's not gonna be anything very original, but it'll be cool. Disenchantment Season 3 will be released on Netflix January 15th. If you haven't seen the first three seasons of Disenchantment, it is a very funny animated comedy. It has Abbey Jacobson, Eric Andre, John DiMaggio. It's very, very funny. It's made by the same guys who did The Simpsons and Futurama, that kind of style. It hasn't really gotten to that level yet, but I think it definitely will. Abbey Jacobson's hilarious in it. Go ahead and check it out on Netflix. Ming-Na Wen has confirmed that Fennec Shand, her character from The Mandalorian, will return in the Bad Batch animated series. This was pretty much speculated for the longest time. If you saw the Bad Batch trailer, you could see a character who looks very much like Fennec Shand, but Ming-Na Wen has confirmed that it is Fennec. I love Fennec. Probably a breakout character from season 2 that people have not talked about enough, but we'll get more on her later, so don't worry. The Lizzie McGuire sequel series is officially dead at Disney Plus. Lizzie McGuire herself, Hilary Duff, has confirmed on her Instagram. I wasn't excited for that, but it's interesting because when Disney Plus was first launching, it was one of the big reasons why they were getting people in. Like, it's in one of the teasers. I know I'm not gonna be able to find it. The last shot is Hilary Duff in front of the studio, like of her being like, you know, get ready for like Lizzie McGuire. But now it's not a thing anymore, and now they're just pushing Marvel and Star Wars at us, which I'm down for, but I just think that's really interesting. Adam Rayner has been cast as Morgan Edge in Superman and Lois. The reason why this is interesting is that that character, Morgan Edge, had previously been played by Adrian Pastor in the same universe in Supergirl. So this leads me to believe that the Crisis on Infinite Earths possibly has created a new Morgan Edge, or maybe this is a version from another universe. There's a big theory that the villain of Superman and Lois will be a Lex Luthor from another universe. So I'm pretty excited about the Superman and Lois show. Let me know what you guys think. What do you think about Morgan Edge? The season premiere photos of Batwoman have hit online, showing off not only Ryan Wilder, but Bruce Wayne. I'm not gonna spoil the end of Batwoman season 1, but in a way, Bruce Wayne has returned to Gotham. So this is going to be an interesting dynamic between Bruce Wayne and the new Batwoman. The Book of Boba Fett is coming to Disney Plus December 2021. This will be separate from The Mandalorian Season 3 and is also set to come out around the same time. It's set in the same timeline. Fennec Shand is set to return for the show. Temuera Morrison, of course, is leading. You know, if you told me about this 2 months ago, which I think we did because I know I have an episode out called No One Wants a Boba Fett Show because I didn't want it. I didn't want a Boba Fett show. After The Mandalorian, I do want a Boba Fett show. I absolutely do. I take back what I said. I am man enough to say that I spoke wrongly. I'm excited for the Book of Boba Fett. This show is highly anticipated on my list now. So, yeah, let's go. Keep it going. I want to see more Boba Fett, especially this version. Chadwick Boseman was able to voice T'Challa for multiple episodes of What If, making the animated series his final MCU project. I'm so happy about that. I'm so happy we're going to see more T'Challa later this year. His death, as you may know, has affected me. If you watch many of my episodes, I bring him up often. But it's really nice to know that we're not just going to see a voice actor voicing T'Challa in this animated series. We're going to see actual Chadwick Boseman. What if he would have been Star-Lord? That's going to be a fun couple of episodes, and it's going to be nice to hear Chadwick again. So that's going to be really cool. A couple of shows have been renewed. The Flight Attendant at HBO Max has been renewed for season 2. AP Bio has been renewed for season 4 at Peacock. And His Dark Materials has been renewed for season 3 at HBO. Some pretty good shows. I've heard about all of them. Let me know what y'all think. We finally got a finale for The Mandalorian Season 2, and there are a lot of things that we need to talk about, so we're giving a spoiler warning for all of Season 2 of The Mandalorian. If you haven't seen it, pause the episode right now. Go watch it. It's an incredible season of television. One of the best things about 2020. Go check it out, and then come back, and we're breaking it down in 3, 2, 1. There are major things, of course, we need to talk about, including the ending and the post-credit scene. But first, we're going to go through the episode. I'm going to be talking about all of it because I don't want just the ending to overshadow the whole episode, because the whole episode has a lot of really cool moments. It starts with Kara and Mando rescuing Dr. Pershing from another Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. alum. If you didn't know, there are a ton of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. characters on the season of The Mandalorian. And the guy who's holding Dr. Pershing is actually the main villain of the final season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Great actor. He does a great villain monologue at the beginning of this episode. Finally, Kara puts him down with a nice shot. I love when he's like, oh, I was on the Death Star. And she's like, oh, which one? Like, just mocking him. Mando and Boba then go to recruit Bo-Katan and Sasha Banks. I know Sasha Banks' character has a name. I just keep seeing her as Sasha Banks. Where Boba and her clearly do not get along. They have a confrontation, a quick fight, and then they agree to help in exchange for the Darksaber from Moff Gideon, which we will get back to in a moment. They all decide to go two separate ways. Mando will go to save Grogu, while Fennec, Kira, Bo-Katan, and Sasha Banks all are drawing fire, and we can have it the other way on the ship, while Boba Fett is flying around and keeping the Empire looking at him. That's where we get some of the best action, is from the four of them fighting together, you know, Fennec, Kira, Bo-Katan, and Sasha Banks. Many of people have been comparing it to the She's Got Help moment from Endgame, only way more natural, because it is a little bit more natural. It was pretty badass. I have to admit, I was pretty excited to see Fennec with all these characters. Fennec is my favorite of the four of them, to be honest. Ming-Na Wen, I love Ming-Na Wen. If you didn't know, she is also from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Mando tries to disable the Dark Troopers, but one gets out, unfortunately, and Mando has to take it on one by one, and he has a horrible time. This guy is throwing him around, punching him in the face. He's getting nowhere with it. He finally gets the Beskar spear through him. Mando then proceeds to Grogu, and he actually chokes out a stormtrooper with that spear, which was, I think people really overlooked that moment. It was really intense. It was really good. We finally get a confrontation between Gideon and Mando. Gideon actually offers Grogu in exchange for them never crossing paths again and him leaving immediately. But of course, that was just a ploy. Unlike Jedi and Mandalorians, Moff Gideon doesn't have armor or extremely powerful armor or Force powers. He has to get any advantage he gets, so he's waited for Mando to turn around, and then he starts bashing him with the Darksaber. It's a pretty awesome fight, and I gotta admit, I didn't expect much from Moff Gideon as far as fighting, but it was a really, really intense one. I think he has similar training to maybe Thrawn, but Mando is able to defeat him, which unfortunately means that now he has the rights to the Darksaber, and Bo-Katan cannot stand that. I guess this means that Mando now has more claim to the throne of Mandalore, and Bo-Katan really wants the throne. So Mando even tries to, like, oh, I yield, I don't care, just take it, I just want Grogu. But Bo-Katan's not having it. It's got to be won fairly, and she's very upset. So I'm curious to see how that's going to be moving forward. This confrontation, though, is halted because the Dark Troopers turn, outnumbering them by a lot, and we remember that Mando could barely take on one. So they're basically screwed, the door is closed, and the Dark Troopers are punching in. Moff Gideon is having a good old time. But then we see that one X-Wing shows up, which it didn't really click with me for a moment as to what that really meant until I saw his glove. That's right, it's Luke Skywalker. Luke Skywalker shows up at the end of The Mandalorian, which I still can't really believe. He has a very Rogue One Darth Vader moment where he's destroying these Dark Troopers like nothing. He's crushing Dark Troopers with the Force. He's slicing through them, doing very cool Jedi moves. Probably cooler than we've ever seen Luke Skywalker in any other film, besides, in my opinion, The Last Jedi. He's able to stop all of them. It even leads to a point where Moff Gideon tries to freaking blast himself in the face, but Kira is able to disarm him. Luke then comes in. He offers to train Grogu, and Mando, of course, accepts, but not before taking off his helmet and telling Grogu that they'd see each other again in a very tender, beautiful moment. It's almost overlooked because of all of the Luke Skywalker of it all. It's a beautiful moment. It's probably my favorite in the whole season. Very, very sad stuff. I did not like the introduction of Luke Skywalker. I did at the moment. I thought it was very cool at the moment. But looking back, it seems extremely weird. Like, it's if Iron Man showed up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I would feel very confused as to these worlds don't really collide that much. And they shouldn't collide. I also wish that Boba was there, because then at least there would have been a cool confrontation between Boba and Luke, but there wasn't even that, because Boba leaves in Slave One, so we don't even get that confrontation. But really, I love The Mandalorian. I love it a lot. I love that it barely touches Star Wars with Boba Fett and Ahsoka. Like, there's small moments where you get these connections to Star Wars, but really it's in its own pocket universe, really. And bringing in Luke Skywalker and R2-D2 kind of just, it feels surreal having them there, but in the moment, it was very cool. I think the weird CGI Luke looked better than Leia in Rogue One, but it still felt weird. I didn't really like it. I didn't feel comfortable. I'm interested to see where the show will go now, because there is no Grogu. Grogu is no longer a part of the ship. He's no longer a part of the crew. So, what is Mando's new mission? Is it taking over Mandalore? Is it bringing justice? Is it what is he going to do next? He is a morally ambiguous character. Yes, he has a connection to Grogu, but he is not necessarily a good guy. He is a guy. Will he take over Mandalore? Will there now be a this is the way type of Mandalore? You know, is he gonna make them all a part of his, like, faction of Mandalorians? I don't know. Or will the Bo-Katan take over and it will become a darker version of Mandalore than even that? I don't know. Both of those characters are kind of morally ambiguous, so I don't know which one is the rightful heir to Mandalore or which one will be a better leader, but you know what? We'll see, I guess, with season 3. Finally, we gotta talk about that end credit scene with Boba and Fennec Shand killing guards on Tatooine in Jabba's palace. That felt very much like Return of the Jedi. It felt like we were right back there, you know? And Bib Fortuna has taken over and gained quite a bit of weight. But now Boba, after killing Bib, sits down on the throne in Tatooine, meaning that he will be the new crime lord. My favorite part of that whole thing was when Fennec Shand sits right next to him and takes a big whiz of alcohol. I love Fennec Shand. She's amazing. I'm interested to see what the spinoff show is, The Book of Boba, now. Because of that ending, he's a crime lord. How is he not going to attract the attention of, like, a Luke Skywalker? Or at least some kind of Jedi now? I don't know, but I'm really interested to see. I think this might also make him an enemy of Mando. I think Boba and Mando may have to cross paths at one point, and Mando may have to stop him. Who knows? Overall, I loved this season of The Mandalorian. It brought in a lot of really great characters. It elevated the ones that they brought back. They brought in some from old Star Wars, from new Star Wars. It was a great balance of everything. I'm not, again, a huge fan of the Luke Skywalker reveal, but other than that, I loved the episode. I loved the show. I'm so excited for season 3. I'm excited for Boba Fett. Let me know what you guys all thought of the new Star Wars episode of The Mandalorian. Now it's time for rewatch. Why rewatch a movie to get you ready for the next big thing in media? This week, I rewatched Wonder Woman to get you ready for Wonder Woman 84, which comes out this Friday. I'm so excited for this movie, guys. Unlike last week where I did this with Age of Ultron, this week, Wonder Woman is going to be a little bit different from that because This movie is way better than Age of Ultron. This movie is not as flawed as Age of Ultron, so I'm not going to have as much negative things to say about it. I'm mostly going to be talking about what I love about the film. But because we have to talk about what we don't like, I'll deal with that first because it's just easier to get through. The film Wonder Woman has only very few flaws. I think the biggest is the villain. Ares is not a very good villain. His final fight isn't particularly good. It looks weird in the armor, the CGI is not great, and his powers aren't very well defined. Now, personally, when powers aren't very well defined, I don't really like it because I'm like, oh, he could just do anything. He's literally moving gravity, he's moving things, he's creating armor for himself, he's throwing lightning. I know he's a god, but they should definitely specify what he can and can't do. He has one line that feels very hokey where he says, "Then I will destroy you," and it doesn't come off very well. I'm not a big fan of that line, especially after the line that comes before it, but I'll talk more about that in a moment. Ludendorff and Dr. Poison aren't particularly good either. They're the beginning villains of the film. They're definitely twirl your mustache kind of villains, like that kind of classic, oh, I'm evil, like I'm a. I get that it's a war, and no matter what, that they're the bad guys, but I would like a little bit more substance to my characters. That's just really it, though. The villains are the only part of the movie that I can't really get behind. So now let's talk about the things that I love about this film. This film, in my opinion, is a much better version of Captain America: The First Avenger, as much as I like that film. That film didn't get me excited about Captain America. That movie didn't really. The action didn't really get to me. There was nothing in that film that made me go, "I can't wait to see him in Avengers." That movie went, "I can't wait to see Avengers," because I just wanted to see all the Avengers together. But Wonder Woman got me excited to see her as a character in the next film, in Justice League, even though Justice League was horrible. The casting of Gal is one of the best castings of any character I can ever think of, because when I was thinking of Wonder Woman and who I would want to play that character, it never even occurred to me Gal Gadot. She is one beautiful, she is strong, tall, like she is so genuine with everything that she says. She is inspiring in every single way, and that is what Wonder Woman needs to be. Every time that I am asked who would be my Wonder Woman, I have no better answer than Gal Gadot. Gal Gadot is perfect. I could think of a better answer for maybe Wolverine. I could think of maybe a better answer for Iron Man. And that's a really hard question. But Wonder Woman? Not even a little bit. I can't think of one person. That's why I entirely skipped it when I recasted Justice League on this show. The action in this film is incredible. Particularly, No Man's Land is one of my favorite action scenes in any movie. And when she's running through people in anger at the end of the film, it's so intense and so powerful. It looks horrifying in a way, but in a good way. The cinematography in this film is absolutely beautiful. Diana sticks out because of the gray gloominess, and she is always in color. And even when she's in just like regular dresses, or if she's just in like her jacket and glasses, she still sticks out because she is a symbol for goodness and love wherever she goes. This movie wouldn't work at all if the chemistry between Steve Trevor and Wonder Woman wasn't there, but luckily Chris Pine and Gal Gadot are so good together, you believe him whenever he says anything. He tells her he loves her in the end. That wouldn't be that impactful if they didn't have that good chemistry and that good writing. It all has to work together, and it works beautifully. You get some of the best laughs out of them too, bickering. It's amazing. I do think they wasted Chris Pine, though, with a character like Steve Trevor at first, because I was like, oh, Chris Pine would have been an amazing superhero. He would have been an amazing superhero. But having him in this film, I understand why, because those two need to have that good relationship. And Steve Trevor ends up being one of my favorite characters in the DC Extended Universe, which is saying something, because there's a lot of really cool characters that they could have done, but Chris Pine nails it. The theme from Batman vs. Superman, the Wonder Woman theme, is one of my favorites. Like, I love it. It gets me excited. I know it's not that crazy of a take, but it's true. I love it. I love the costuming in this film. As I've said multiple times on the show, I love a period piece, but Diana's Wonder Woman armor, they found a way to make one of the most ridiculous original designs in the comics become not only functional, but incredibly badass. The armor looks amazing on her, and it doesn't look, I think, overly sexualized or anything like that. I thought they did a really good job with that. I also love that they do the fish out of water scenario without making Diana seem stupid. Because I feel like whenever you do fish out of water, it's always like, oh, what's a pencil? And that's stupid. I hate that. But instead, they make her very, very intelligent. She knows all these languages. She's studied. She knows the way of man. But she's just very excited to see things like a baby. And she's just happy to see one. She's angered by when generals say soldiers die. That's what they do. And she doesn't understand why they don't fight with their soldiers. And she asks why a woman can't fight in these kind of dresses. Like, these dresses aren't made to function or whatever. Like, she's upset by that kind of stuff. And that stuff makes sense. That's a good way to use the fish out of water scenario without making it feel like the Little Mermaid or like, I don't know, Thor. Like, it added a new element to it. Diana and Steve's final moment together, where he tells her that he loves her, and she's finally able to piece everything together, like what he said to her, and figuring out that it's not about what people deserve, it's about what they believe. And that's a powerful good message. That only works because of Gal's performance, because of great writing, because of Chris Pine's performance. And then when Diana says at the end, it's like, it's not about what they deserve, it's about what you believe in, I choose love. That could have been a very cringy line. That could have been a very ugh line, you know? But instead, it becomes my favorite moment in the whole film because it's such a powerful, good message. And Gal really believes that. I believe that she believes that. And that's the beauty of filmmaking, honestly. And overall, at the end of this film, I was way more excited for more Wonder Woman. I was so excited for Justice League. I wasn't when I saw the movie, but I was excited later on for it. So I think this movie works on so many levels. I love it. I recommend you rewatch it. It is one of the best in the DC Extended Universe, maybe the best movie in the DC Extended Universe. So I'm so excited for Friday. Let me know if you guys are, if you liked Wonder Woman, and if you're excited for Wonder Woman 1984. Finally, I got a quick recommendation for you guys. If you guys have HBO Max and you're as excited for Wonder Woman as I am, I'm going to recommend something DC for you, something I don't do often. It's an animated show, one of my favorites. It's about a young team of superheroes, sidekicks, becoming a superhero team of their own. It is not Teen Titans. I'm talking Young Justice. It is the best animated DC show of all time. I'll put that out there. Go ahead and fight me on it. If you like Justice League or Justice League Unlimited, you're wrong. Young Justice, it's about Young Robin, Aqualad, Kid Flash, Superboy, Martian Manhunter's niece, Miss Martian, Artemis, Impulse, Blue Beetle. Like, it's got some of the best characters in the DC Comics universe. And it doesn't just focus on the kids. It focuses on everybody involved, including their families, which are members of the Justice League. You get Justice League. You get Young Justice. You get the classic DC Comics villains. You get time jumps where you see these characters grow and become better versions of their, like, young selves. So you get to see characters like Aqualad actually become Aquaman. And you get to see Robin become Nightwing. It's very good character development, very great animation, fighting, and even better writing. So check out Young Justice. They got 3 seasons out on HBO Max: Young Justice, Young Justice Invasion, and Young Justice Outsiders. And if you like all those, guess what? There's going to be a 4th season, Young Justice Phantoms. I'm so excited for that. Let me know if you've seen the show, and let me know if you like it. And that's all I really had for you guys this week. Let me know, what was your favorite piece of news? Are you excited for the Book of Boba Fett? Did you love the Mandalorian Season 2 finale? Are you excited for Wonder Woman 84? Let me know. Email me at liveactionremakepodcast@gmail.com. And be sure to follow our socials at Live Action Remake on Facebook and Instagram. And I am now on Twitter at Action Remake Pod. I couldn't get Live Action Remake for a Twitter name. I don't know why, but it is what it is. I hope you guys have a good weekend. Stay safe, wear a mask, do what you love. I'm signing out. Have a good one.